ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Text 10, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajatang Priti Purvakam Tadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yena Mam Upayanti Te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness, and that with love and devotion, render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. So there are many aspects to this verse and the purport, but I particularly read it to lead into a question that has been sent to me, and then I'll reply to that question, which is all in relation to the topic of the verse. The question was sent to me. In one of your lectures, you mentioned that there is no private life for a devotee, but every sincere devotee who is practicing Krishna consciousness must have some revelations which he or she may not share with everyone, as everyone cannot relate to it. So it becomes a private life for him or her. If you could kindly throw some light, if my understanding is correct. Well, this point, no private life, that's particularly for a sannyasi, one who takes the role of a spiritual guide. His life is supposed to be an open book that he can be no corners to hide away in. But for Grihasthas, they have what could be called a private life. They have their own personal life. To some extent. I mean, there's traditional family means more than 2 plus 2. It means parents plus 2 children. In Hindi, it's that motto is there for promoting what they call family planning. Hum do hamare do. We are two, we have two. But traditionally, family meant a big group. But even then, there are some things which are called family matters. That they're just within the family. They're not discussed beyond. There may be some private matters. This privacy, which I was just saying the other day, is very much part of life in Scandinavia. Probably the further north you go, the more private people become. The idea of private, you have to have your own space. That's not very much there in Indian culture, especially village culture. And for sadhus, it's supposed to be that they're public entities. Of course, there are different kinds of sadhus. There are many sadhus. Monam charanti vijane na parata nishtha. They go away to the hills. Well, it doesn't say hills in this, but Srila Prabhupada translates it. He adds that in the translation. They go to places where there are no people and they observe silence. They're not concerned with the benefit of others, but especially those kind of sadhus who they're preaching, so they move among people and they're open, they're supposed to be available. Of course, they may also go away sometimes for writing, as even Narad Muni, with his curse that he can't stay in a place more than 3 days, but he also, for writing, he also went on a writing retreat to Vrindavan, where the curse didn't count. And then he wrote Narada Pancharatra. So some privacy may be there, but there's no private life. The point, one who's a sadhu, it's not that he's 6 days a week a sadhu and then he has 1 day off. Or he goes on holidays. Like I was surprised when I was a child, I saw the priests, would they have gone holiday. Where? I was in England. I don't know where they went on holiday, but they'd have 2 weeks holiday a year. I don't know what they'd do with it. Take off your collar and get out your Bermuda shorts. But there's no holiday. It's 24 hours, 365 days a year, 366 in a leap year. So it's full commitment. So that point, there's no private life, but his life is an open book. It means everyone should be able to see. Not that he goes away and hides away and smokes a cigarette or watches some Kami movie or something like this. But his life is open, no secrets. Of course, there may be some secrets because some confidential matters that people state to him in that sense. But personally, he should be open. Then again, Narottam Das has warned that Apana bhajana kotha na kohibo jota tota. Says that my own, we could say, realizations, bhajana kotha. We don't speak about what we're doing in our bhajan. We don't just divulge it here and there. So, today I chanted 128 rounds. Everybody here, hear me, I chanted 128 rounds. You don't go around announcing if you chanted 128 rounds on one day. Or if there are some realizations, should you reveal them? It may be, but jota tota means you don't just announce it everywhere, but just in the verse of Bhagavad Gita, which is prior to the one which we just read, there's another well-known verse that machita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katayantas chamangityam trishanti charamanticha. Devotees, they, among themselves, they share their talks and realizations of Krishna, but it's, that may be within a private group. And it may not be only our realizations, but difficulties also. There's someone who's having spiritual difficulty, it may not be that he wants to go and share that with everyone, especially if one is in a position of being respected as a spiritual leader. So it's not that Maya turns off when you take sannyas. Maya doesn't say goodbye, she says, okay, let's have a look. What kind of sannyasi are you? So there will be difficulties and struggles, but they may not be shared with everyone. There may be just some confident. Guhyam akhyati prichati. Among the six symptoms of love, there is sharing confidentially with others, revealing one's mind and listening to others in confidence. So sharing is there, sharing different thoughts. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives that idea that when a devotee meets another, he asks about what are your experiences in devotional service, how Krishna is reciprocated with you. So one devotee may try to draw that out of another. So there is some privacy in that sense. It's not that someone will say if they have some intimate realization. They may do also, but not for the sake of advertisement. That I had a vision of Krishna. Generally, if someone goes around announcing how they're having intimate realizations, you can understand the very attitude of announcing suggests that they're doing it for name and fame, and even then the very realization that they had become suspect, if they even had such a thing. Srila Prabhupada, he once mentioned that one woman said she was doing parikrama of Jagannath, and Jagannath pulled at her sari, and Prabhupada said, I didn't have it. What is this? Why that ugly woman that Jagannath would be tugging at her sari as if he's interested in her? And Prabhupada said, I never had any such thing happen to me. I just followed the order of my guru. Of course, Prabhupada did have such things. He revealed, not that he went around announcing it, but he did reveal that Rupa Goswami would talk to him when Srila Prabhupada was staying at Radha Damodara temple where there's the samadhi of Rupa Goswami. When he was on the boat to America, he thought he might not make it there due to heart attacks, but then Krishna, in the form of his different avatars, came to him in a dream, rowing a boat, saying, don't worry, we're taking you. So the point Srila Prabhupada has made, that one doesn't announce such things. Revelations and realizations will be there. That's how this connects with this verse. Tesham satadukdhanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te. Realizations will be there. Krishna within the heart will inspire the devotee with realizations about devotional service. We've probably all had the experience of reading Srila Prabhupada's books and something just hits us. It's on the paper, but it just really resonates with us. And I've often had the experience of reading something, and I know I've read it many times before because I've read that section of Prabhupada's books many times before, but it's just like I never read it before, and it's just like so fresh and just speaking to me so strongly. It's just some point which really, it awakens a realization. So we probably all had that experience. There are many cases also, not only of devotees in Krishna consciousness, but Christians also often report this, that they have something on their mind and they can't resolve it, or they have some doubt, or they're in some difficult situation, and just open the scripture. Maybe the devotee opens Bhagavad Gita, or the Christian opens the Bible randomly, and they just read something which is exactly just what they need to hear, just exactly addresses the point, which is a good case for the existence of God, because how is that by chance? The atheists, the strong atheistic propaganda, but this kind of thing, of course the scientists won't accept it, they say it's not falsifiable or something like this, but those who are devotees, they can see the hand of God. God is speaking to them through scripture. So revelations will be there. We have to be a little careful about that also. Just in Stockholm, someone asked me after the class about this, that we get some inspiration, but you have to be a little careful with all that, your inner voice and all this kind of thing, because the inner voice can be very misleading also. Krishna gives realizations according to our desires, and many people have had realizations. Karl Marx had realizations, Machiavelli had realizations. Otherwise, how could they write so many things? And to them, it seemed right. The inspiration was coming from Krishna because they had a certain desire in that way. So realizations may seem to be real, but it has to be confirmed by Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, and especially if one has some realization, then that has to be confirmed with one's Guru. And Guru will confirm that on the basis of Shastra. That is that according to Shastra or not? Of course, some things they're not understandable exactly by Shastra, because it's not possible that every possibility is within Shastra. Just like if someone comes and says, Jagannath was tugging at my sari, then on the basis of the Guru will have to address, is this a bona fide realization or not? He'll have to judge that based on his own depth of bhajan and realization, which he has heard from his acharyas. So, revelation, everyone will get that. So generally, if we're thinking about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness or the pastimes of Krishna, or thinking about Shastric topics, then some inspiration will come. Krishna gives that. But that has to be checked against Shastra. A verse in Bhagavad Gita about realization. Actually, there are many. In Gita, several times the terms come, Gyan and Vijnana. These terms come together. Gyan means knowledge. Jnana vijnana triptatma, for instance, Krishna speaks of the person who's satisfied by knowledge and realization, for instance. So Krishna speaks about realization. Jnanena tu tadajnanam yesham nashitam atmanaha tesham adityavajnanam prakashayati tatparam. Krishna speaks of knowledge, which is like the rising sun. When the sun rises, then everything becomes clear. So similarly, when the knowledge arises within one's heart, when clear knowledge arises within one's heart, then it's just like the sun rising. Everything becomes clear. The ignorance is dispelled and the supreme is revealed, just like the sun. So, knowledge is given in scripture, but realization is given by Krishna. But it's not that the scripture is unimportant and that realization is all in all. No, scripture is that which is given by God to present the knowledge, and realization means understanding, or the one Sanskrit term for this is atma sakshatkar, to personally, directly experience it. Self-realization. Sakshatkar means realization, to directly experience it. It's not just theoretical knowledge, but realized. Here's a quote from the Tattva Sutras of Bhaktivinoda Thakur about this. That knowledge is like the sun, while the scriptures are only its rays. The scriptures, they convey the light, just like the rays of the sun, they convey the light of the sun. They're none different from it, but some difference is there also, because actual knowledge is the sun. So scriptures are like the rays of the sun. No single scripture could possibly contain all knowledge. The personal realization, svata siddha jnana, of the jivas are the basis of all scripture. How about that? Personal realizations. But later, elsewhere he clarifies that the topmost praman, or source of evidence, is the realization of liberated souls. That scripture is... I'll read on. It's clarified here itself. These realizations should be recognized as the gifts of God Himself. The perceptive rishis obtained this self-evident knowledge directly from the Supreme Brahman and wrote it down for the benefit of other jivas. Yeah, Srila Prabhupada refers to the Vedas as revealed knowledge or revealed scriptures. So how that revelation takes place, Krishna, at the beginning of creation, Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kaviya, he inspires that knowledge within the heart of Brahma, the knowledge of the scriptures. But also, many of the scriptures are revealed by rishis. It's revealed in their heart, and then they reveal it to others. That's the meaning of rishi. The original meaning of the term rishi is one who... take some realization from the Supreme Brahman and presents it for the benefit of human society. A fractional portion of this knowledge has taken the form of the Vedas. Fractional portion. Form of the Veda. A conditioned soul is advised to study the Veda with the help of all these explanations. But even with the help of these explanations, that means the explanations, the acharya, just like there's Srimad Bhagavatam, which were the Bhagavatam, if we see the history first, there's the Chatur-Shloki Bhagavatam. Of course, Bhagavatam is eternal, but within this universe, it's revealed in certain stages, chronologically. So Chatur-Shloki Bhagavatam, spoken by Narayana to Brahma, and then Brahma, with his realizations, he gave the whole summary of Srimad Bhagavatam in those prayers, Chintamani Prakara Sadhana Sukalpa Vriksha, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Vajami. And then there are other phases. Ultimately, Vyasadeva, he compiled that. And then Shuk, he came and he gave it with more sweetness and more realization. And that realization process is going on as different acharyas give their commentaries and explanations, because I'll go on. A conditioned soul is advised to study the Veda with the help of all these explanations, but even with the help of these explanations, he should still examine them in the light of his own self-evident knowledge or personal realizations, because the authors of these explanatory literatures and commentaries are not always clear in their meaning. Just like, for instance, there is in Bhagavatam that statement, what is that? Atitavan dvaparad. Idang Bhagavatam nama purana brahma samhitam Adhitavan dvaparado pita dvaipayanaraham. Shukadev says that this Bhagavatam is the essence of all the Vedas. This Srimad Bhagavatam, this Purana. And he said, I studied it from my father, Dvaipayana Vyas. And he says, Dvaparado, at the beginning of Dvarapa Yuga. Now that's out of sync with everything else that's stated in the Bhagavatam, because Vyasa comes at the end of Dvarapa Yuga, not at the beginning. So Jiva Goswami says that in this case we can understand that this means sometimes the beginning is seen as the end, just like the reflection of a tree in the water. The bottom of the tree is seen as the top. So, okay. I mean, grammatically, it could have been just as easily adhitavan dvaparante, but for some reason or other, it's dvaparado. So, all right, we accept. But Jiva Goswami has clarified that. And there may be there are so many points. If we start digging in the great mine of the Shastras, of the Bhagavatam, or even the Gita, which is a short work, and once you start looking into it, it's just more than one jiva can imagine, the depths of it, more than one lifetime's work, or maybe many millions of lifetimes of work. There's no end to the depth of Bhagavad Gita. So everything may not be clear in the commentaries. Well, that may be because we're not clear, or they spoke to different people of different levels of intelligence in a different age. So the commentaries, they're supposed to help clear the meaning, but still we may not be clear. So there is Shravan Manan Nididhyasana. These are the processes mentioned in the Chandogya Upanishad. For one should hear scripture, one should reflect upon its meaning, and one should think about it, and then one should meditate very deeply on it. In some cases, commentators have confessed to having doubts about their own understanding. Therefore, the Katha Upanishad says, Avidya yamantare vartamanaha swayam dhira panditang manyamanaha dandram yamana pariyanti murha andhenaiva niyamana yathandaha. Abiding in the midst of ignorance, thinking themselves wise and learned, fools go aimlessly hither and thither like blind led by the blind. This is quite extraordinary that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes this in relation to the commentators on Shastra. But he does. And he continues, therefore it is necessary to cultivate knowledge in the light of one's own personal realizations. This is the rule governing scriptural study. Since knowledge born of personal realization is the root of all the scriptures, how can we expect to gain benefit by ignoring it and depending exclusively on the scriptures, which are the branches growing out of it? Of course, the scriptures... since knowledge born of personal realization is the root of all scriptures, in other words, the rishis... Well, I understand this to mean, because it's not completely clear, which Bhaktivinoda himself says the commentators may not be completely clear. But or one understanding of that can be is that the scriptures are revealed within the heart of Brahma, within different rishis. So that the scriptures come to us through people. It's not on a tablet, like the Ten Commandments on a tablet Moses brought down from Mount Sinai. But even then, that was brought by Moses, right? So you could have said, well, maybe Moses made it himself. It comes via people. Knowledge comes via people. It's always there. Any kind of knowledge comes via people. So knowledge born of personal realization is the root of all scriptures. How can we expect to gain benefit by ignoring it? What exactly is meant by it here? is not clear from the context. I'm just reading a translation. This was originally written in Bengali. And depending exclusively on the scriptures, which are the branches growing out of it. Oh, it must mean the knowledge born of personal realization. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that the highest pramana is the perception of liberated persons. Even the scriptures, they're meant for different parts, are meant for different kinds of people. So, self-realized person we should go and study from. Now, the conditioned soul, he's always enjoined to study, to hear from the scriptures. So what does this mean, that he should apply his own realization? Well, we can't, if we are to enter into the teachings of Shastra, we can't but apply our intelligence to do so. It's not just a matter of learning it. We have to try to understand it also. The system in the Gurukuls in India, they're still going on. By Gurukul, I mean real Gurukuls, where they teach the Vedas. Is that the young boys, the first thing they do is learn the Vedas. Or they learn one Veda, at least one Veda. One extant Veda. Rig Veda or Yajur Veda. Mostly, these seem to be taught, these two. They just learn it. They know what it means, they just learn it. Afterwards, they study philosophy. When they're young boys, they just learn it. That's all. They'll learn it forwards, backwards, and everything until they, one word, two words, three words. Then there's a whole system of learning it, so they'll never forget it. Then afterwards, they come to learn the meaning. What the meaning is, of course, that will depend on which. Who's teaching them that. Otherwise, just to learn the Vedas, you'll find that boys from different traditions, they'll go to, just like for instance, I was, some years ago, I was at a Gurukul in Srirangam. It was run by a Sri Vaishnava, and there was a boy there with the Shaiva Tilak, studying the Vedas from him. Why? Why would the parents of a boy from a smarter Mayavad background send him to learn from a Sri Vaishnava? Because they're just learning the Vedas, that's all. There's, at that stage, there's no interpretation or explanation. You're just learning the verbs, the vowels and the consonants and the svaras, the intonations. So, realization that is, of course, that is guided by one's acharya, but one will tend to seek out the kind of acharya according to one's own ruchi, whatever it may be, one's own initial taste. So some people are attracted to Mayavad, some people are attracted to Krishna consciousness, some people are attracted to Rama consciousness, some people are attracted to Babaji's in Radha Kund. People have different inspirations. So they go to who they feel. It's not just philosophical, but what someone says will resonate with the feeling that's already in our heart. Now, of course, again, we have to be very careful of feelings, because that can also mislead us. But we can't ignore that or deny that. Knowledge is not something wholly mechanistic or inert. We're talking about knowledge, we're talking about knowledge of the ultimate reality. How will we perceive that? We'll find that different people perceive the same object, they have the same vision of the same object, but they perceive it in a completely different way. Just like Chanakya says that three kinds of living beings, they see a beautiful woman, they see the same thing, but they perceive in a different way. A dog will see a lump of flesh. a man will see something desirable, and a self-realized sadhu, he'll see, yeah, it's a person, but they don't have the same attraction that a, well, he'll also see a lump of flesh. The same thing is seen in different people in different ways. How we see has to be guided by Shastra. Taking knowledge from Shastra, we have to be guided by Shastra. That guidance to understand, to go through the whole mass of Shastra, Shabda Jala Maharanyam Kevala Chitta Brahmanam, the Shastra and all people, so many people say so many different things, and it's like a big great forest in which we simply become, our whole consciousness becomes bewildered. Therefore we have to take guidance to guide us through this forest. We have to accept some guidance, and then the realizations we have to see that, well, we may submit, I had this realization. Is it acceptable? Is it bona fide? One should submit that to one's guru. Or if one's guru is not present, he may submit to some trusted friend, devotee, like this, or friends. Or keep it within one's heart until the time one can share that with others. But definitely we all must be having realization. Every devotee gets realization. Otherwise, how can you remain on the path of Krishna consciousness? There's no realization. So that will be there. So, it's a very big topic, and that's all I'm going to say on it now, unless there is... Oh, one other thing I wanted to say is that... one may get some realization, but still one needs guidance to pursue that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives the idea that one may get the idea that I want to have milk. But then you have to ask someone, well, how do I get milk? And you say, well, you have to buy it. What would you do? You go to the shop and buy it. But Vishwanath Chakravarti says that that's what you do in the modern world. Vishwanath Chakravarti says you have to approach someone who knows about all these things. He'll tell you you have to buy a cow, and he'll give you some guidance, what kind of cow is suitable for you, how to look after it, how to milk it. You may have some idea that this is what you are inclined toward, but you need guidance on how to do that. So in the same way, we need guidance from authorities, which is scripture, sadhu, guru, sadhu, shastra. So Hare Krishna, that's all. Unless anyone has any realizations about all this? Self-realization is on different levels, yeah. Ultimate self-realization is to understand one's position in Krishna Leela. That's the highest realizations. Yeah, self-realization means to understand oneself as a spiritual living being. That word, first, that I'm not the body, that I'm spiritual. And then to understand that I'm a servant of Krishna. And then to understand one's specific service. That's the ultimate. Oh, dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. Yeah. That the essence of dharma is in the heart of the self-realized person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also avoided Sanatan Goswami trapping him into admitting that he, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Sanatan, he pinned him down on the Shastra, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just avoided that. Interestingly, in that, of the three gurus, Sattva and Shastras, Shastra is the center. So what's the center? Krishna's the center. Shastra is the guide always. Shastra is always the guide. But we should understand that the Shastra is also given by persons and to be understood by persons. It's not just a matter of learning it by rote. In that conversation where the Atma Rama verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had explained in 18 ways to Sarvabhauma, and then Sanatan Goswami, he asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to repeat that, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought out more meanings, up to 61 meanings, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in your presence I'm getting more realizations. So even Krishna himself can have more realizations. What to speak of us, tiny beings.
That verse you quoted about varieties of sadhus, that must be Purana.
Oh yeah, monang charanti vijane naparata nishtha. That's the second line. What's the first line of that verse?
Something about
nala. Monam charanti vijane. Well, I can't remember the first line of that verse now. What's that? I can't remember. What is it? It's a well-known verse, but...
Speaking of Shastra, the translation for this teaching of the source text, it's slightly different than the one you wrote in the first year.
Book changes? Well, that's a whole nother topic, isn't it? I mean, we're really going off topic here. Yeah, but it's another topic altogether. It's always going to change somewhat. You could ask 20 different Sanskrit scholars to translate any verse of Bhagavad Gita into English, and they'd all give something a little different. They wouldn't come out exactly the same. Basically, Srila Prabhupada said that Dr. Radhakrishnan's translations were more or less accurate. And he's a Mayavadi. Svara means intonation. It has to be, each syllable has to be, in Vedic chanting, each syllable has a particular intonation. High, low, like this. Just like in Chinese, they have, it's not exactly the same, tones. You know that? Prose? Prosody. That's... Oh, I see.
You said that sadhus don't go on vacation.
Sadhus don't go on vacation.
Still, it says
well, they may go for a pilgrimage, but they don't stop being sadhus. It's not that they take time off from the four regulated principles, or they take on a different mode of life altogether, but they may go on pilgrimage or something like this. It's not exactly a holiday from, it's definitely not a break from Krishna, vacation from Krishna consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
yukta-hara, viha. Viha means recreation. Sorry? You try to lead a spiritual life. Yeah, that's good. Very nice. We should all try to do that. Realization is relation with God. Well, it matters what your realization is. Ultimately, everything comes from Krishna. I'm not exactly sure what you mean, but realization should be a realization that brings us closer to Krishna. Realization means some thought, some insight, some perspective. Yeah.
You said that one proof of God's existence is that the devotees find the scripture directly as just something.
Yeah, well, I would take that as a the individual devotee who just opens the book randomly and gets exactly what he needs to address his issue, he takes that Krishna is speaking to me like this. So for him, that's proof of God. Although if you went to debate with some atheists, they wouldn't accept that. They wonder, if you can find God in a test tube, they'll accept it. But he's not going to go in a test tube for them. Trying to prove something to people who don't want to know is impossible, but the devotees themselves, they experience Krishna's hand.
In this regard, you said that Christians also...
It's a common thing that Christians report that also, and probably Muslims also. I don't know, they don't have so... As far as I know, Muslims don't have so much a tradition of Quran reading.
Bible and Quran, they're also
Shastra, yeah. Srila Prabhupada wrote that. He said that there are three... scriptures of the Mlechas, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and the Quran. They're also scriptures. Yeah, they're we can't accept them as being on the same level as the scientific knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. It may be, I can't remember Prabhupada saying they have a history, but they certainly seem to have. As Vedas, they speak of eternal truths. Mlecha, Srila Prabhupada usually used the word to mean meat eater. For them, it's God's word. Maybe you could put it around the other in a different way. It's God's word for them. Someone has an idea that I want milk, but they have to find out how to get it from the authorized sources. Different levels of how to get milk? I wouldn't think so. It's a pretty straightforward thing. There's a standard process how to get it, but if you don't know, you have to learn it from someone. According to the standard means. Just go and buy, in the modern age you can go down to the store and buy some milk, but traditionally not so. Not the average person, they don't have to build a factory, they just go and buy it from the store. But anyway, that's, I gave the example. You have to understand it in the context of the traditional society in which the example was given. Prayena deva munayasva vimukti kaman monang charanti vijane naparata nishta. What's the next line? Naitan vihaya kripana vimukshya eko. Then? Yeah, an intelligent person will take gold in from a dirty place. What does it mean? Well, if someone says something good, even if what the rest of what they say or do is not good, you can recognize that. It doesn't. Just like, for instance, Srila Prabhupada, we were just talking about this yesterday, was it? Srila Prabhupada would, and our Acharya is sometimes called Shankaracharya. We don't take his whole philosophy, but if he says something good, we can accept that. But one has to be discriminatory enough to know what should be accepted and what should not be accepted. Srila Prabhupada would quote Shakespeare sometimes. It doesn't mean that we are going to learn Krishna consciousness from Shakespeare, but if he says some point which is relevant, which is in line with Shastra, it can be taken. What is Srila Prabhupada said? What is that? Lovers and poets. What is that? Or, I can't remember. Something compact. I don't know. Something. Many of the English sayings are from Shakespeare. A rose would smell as sweet by any other name. It's from Shakespeare also. So it's a good observation. It won't help us to understand the absolute truth, but it helps us to understand this world and what goes on in it. It's one ray of light on one phenomenon. God helps those who help themselves. That's an English saying. I don't know the source of it. Man proposes and God disposes. A similar saying. Shravan Manan Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasana. Nididhyasana. It means absorption in. To be absorbed in, yeah. Although Visharachagvara Thakur says this process is for Brahmavadis. He says that in one context. Yeah, although others, it's commonly stated by Mayavadis, but it has its application in bhakti also.
So, if you ask, what is your real position? How can we make progress in devotional service here?
How can we make progress in devotional service here in Almvik's Gard? Well, you can do it the same way as anywhere else, chant Hare Krishna and follow all the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada. I'd suggested that parikrama, but I was forgetting about the cold winters, taking the deities out. But something you could do is have every Ekadashi or something, house program, different house. Everyone could come to the temple, but if they don't, you go to their house and then have maybe just have kirtan, little talk, maybe something like that. Prasadam. Or maybe Dwadashi morning, after everyone's been fasting for Ekadashi, we hope. Yeah, so many questions coming. Maybe you could start a bhakti vriksha here and invite people to come in people's houses. Yeah. Namahatas? Yeah, you could start like that. Have congregational preaching. With the parikrama? I don't understand the question. Generally, the deities stay in the temple, unless they go out for some around to see their property or around the town like that. Yeah, the same question came up in Stockholm. I'm sure it must be like this because I feel like that. Someone else may come along and say something completely different and say, I'm sure because I feel like this. So our subjective feelings are not Shastra. Therefore, Shastra is the standard. Charles Manson, you all heard of him? He had a feeling that he should go and kill people and chant Hare Krishna while he was doing it. So, is that divine? No. Hitler was sure that he was right, and so were millions of German people who followed him. Were they right? In hindsight, we can say no, but at the time, they were sure they were doing the right thing. So therefore, we have scripture to guide us, and guru, sadhu, and shastra. So I had a record turnout for class this morning. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.